explained on my last recording, unfortunately, my Spotify account, which normally is linked to music, as you know, Spotify recently purchased the streaming platform where I had my podcast on, and as a result, I couldn't access it for a while. So here I am. It just took me a couple of months to figure it out. I'm not tech savvy at all. There's a lot going on in the world. I think the main thing that comes to mind right now, here we are on November 13, 2023, is the numerous wars that are occurring in this country. The big one right now that most people are focused on and worry about is the war that's going on over in Gaza between the Israelis and Hamas. Now, you know, I am not a political person. This goes back to the early 1900s. Apparently, in the 1800s, this was a time of great colonial expansion as the European empires really tried to take over the world, including the Middle East. As early as the 1840s, the British saw Palestine as an opportunity to carve out a sphere, if you will, in the Middle East. They were, at this time, competing with the French and the Russians. It wasn't until World War I, in which they were fighting the Ottomans who controlled Palestine, that the British formalized their support for the idea of a Jewish state in the region. So, in 1917, Balfour Declaration came about, where the British government unilaterally called for the establishment of a national home for the Jewish people in Palestine, okay? Despite the fact that at the time the Jewish population made up less than 15% of the population there. So though the declaration vowed that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine, it did not outline what those communities were, what specific rights they had, or how they would be protected. And it didn't take their thoughts about how their land should be used into account. Hence, ever since then, there has been a huge divide and a huge issue, if you will, between that area, that property, okay? The British thereafter adopted immigration policies that encouraged more than 100,000 Jews to immigrate over to the area, Palestine, over the next two decades. In the 1930s, the Jews seek to flee, obviously, due to Nazi rule, and had nowhere to go. At first, the Nazis barred Jews from several industries, ranging from civil service to acting, and obviously, we know what that grew into, leading us into World War II. Jewish refugees looked for a place to go. Activists known as Zionists, I believe, had a movement seeking a permanent home for Jewish people, advertised and agitated for immigration to Palestine. For years, many of these activists called for a Jewish state in Palestine. And ever since then, you know, there has been an influx, or there was an influx, if you will, that put stress on the British occupation and on the Palestinians already living in the area. This led to volatile and violent encounters between Palestinian and British troops, as well as their immigrant militia allies. The British even imposed harsh new immigration quotas in Palestine after seeing a record number of immigrants in 1935, driven by Nazi persecution of Jews. which by straightened Zionist movement, the United Nations agreed to partition Palestine into two states, one for the area's Jewish population and another for the Arab population, with the city of Jerusalem to be governed by a special international entity. However, local Arabs and Arab countries objected to the plan. Following a period of extreme violence before, during, and after the war, particularly on the part of the Zionist militias, British forces withdrew from Palestine, and Israel declared its independence on May 14, 1948. That started the first Arab-Israeli war, in which Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria, opponents of Israel's declaration of independence, invaded the country. So the U.S. immediately recognized the new provisional Israeli government. It did not get involved in the conflict militarily. Israel won the war, and with it, 77% of the previous Palestinian Mandate territory, including land that the UN had intended to allocate to the Arabs. So this is where really the conflict grows. You know, if you're looking at it from the Palestine perspective, this was their land. If you're looking at it from Israelis, this has been their land since 1948. Now, since then, there has been several wars between them. So in the 1950s, 1960s, and in the 1970s. Actually, in October 6th of 1973, Egypt and Syria launched a simultaneous surprise attack on Israel. After quickly depleting their reserves of munitions, the Israelis turned to the U.S. for help. Though initially reluctant to engage, then U.S. President Richard Nixon sent Israel supplies and equipment when he found out that the Soviet Union was helping resupply Egypt and Syria. It wasn't until 1978 that Egypt and Israel, with the help of U.S. President Jimmy Carter, arrived at a framework for lasting peace. However, that was not long-lived. In the 1980s, the Palestine Liberation Organization was a coalition of Palestinian nationalists that had been exchanging fire with Israeli forces along the Lebanese border. They used Lebanon, home to many Palestinian exiles, as their base between the 1960s and the early 1980s. In 1982, the Iraq-based Abu Nadal group, a militant group, orchestrated an assassination attempt on Israel's ambassador to Britain. At this time, Israel invaded the southern Lebanon area, conducting a prolonged siege on the Lebanese capital of Beirut. This war officially ended with a U.S. brokered agreement in 1983. However, there has been other battles since then, from 1987 to 1993, also in 2000 to 2003. In 2005, Israel temporarily withdrew from Gaza. And in 2006, the Hamas took over Gaza. However, from 2008 to 2014, there was another war in Gaza. According to UN officials, they later found that the Israeli military committed war crimes and crimes against humanity in their operation. In 2014, Hamas kidnapped and killed three Israeli teens from the West Bank. Response, Israeli launched airstrikes, ground operations, and naval blockades in Gaza. This went on, and again, a ceasefire brokered by Egypt ended the conflict, but it left Gaza with significant infrastructure damage and shortages of basic necessities. At least 2,200 people were killed, the vast majority of whom were civilians in Gaza. There was major escalation in East Jerusalem and Gaza after Israel threatened to evict Palestinian families. families from their homes, which leads us to the conflict of today. As we know, on October 7th, Hamas attacked Israelis, not only killing civilians, but kidnapping them. And Israelis, the Israeli government has led one of the most deadliest re-attacks since these wars began. Israeli leader has said he wants to eliminate Hamas for good. There has been protests worldwide. Here in the U.S., I know that New York, here in Miami, and I know that there have been many protests even in Ivy League schools, universities. I know many donors to Ivy League schools have threatened to withdraw funding, and Harvard being one of them, because Palestinian students had signed, I guess, in support of the attacks that occur. You know, it's tough. It's tough in the sense that, unfortunately, you can see how the Palestinians are upset because their land was stolen from, right? The facts are the facts. You had the British that basically gave a portion of their land to the Jewish people, which eventually it led to a conflict between Israelis and obviously the Palestinians. But you can see in terms of those who occupy there, now you have people who were born and raised there that, you know, had no idea of what had occurred before these agreements came about. This is their homeland, and they're now being told that they need to be kicked out. Obviously, in either case, you know, I'm a firm believer, two wrongs don't make a right. I definitely understand how the Palestinians are upset, besides their land. But that being said, going in and killing civilians and kidnapping them, you know, I can't see how one can be justified. It would be one thing if it was one military fighting the other. I mean, unfortunately, I understand that sometimes wars take place, but to me it's always baffling you have these leaders that make all these decisions and they're not the one fighting. It's, you know, the people that are in the military, and quite often, at least here in the United States, yeah, you have some people that join the military because they're patriots, and the others that do it because, you know, they want to have some kind of career and they join the military. For some people, they may look at it as a resort, a last resort, since they don't want to go to college and don't have a trade. So what I'm saying is, you know, it's easy to say, oh, this side is wrong or that side is wrong. But at this point, it seems like both parties are wrong, both countries. I don't want to say people, because the people here are innocent. The civilians here are innocent. You have children on both sides die.